It's 50 degrees out, drizzly, cold, gray, kind of quarantine-y, kind of stay-at-home-y. Made myself a latte. Here's the first sip. That is good stuff for a day like today. Latte art looks a little poor. Probably need some help on that. Could probably use some help on making some espresso better. Huh, maybe that's an idea for a new season of the podcast. Hey guys, if you've been listening to the podcast this season, you know that season 2 of the Craft Your Own Coffee podcast has been supported by Sweet Maria's Home Coffee Roasting. I love these guys. They're amazing. Since 2012, for me, they have been my source for green coffee, for roasting equipment, for information and resources about roasting coffee at home. And I hope you've enjoyed getting to know them through this podcast as well. If you have not yet taken advantage of their generous offer to listeners of this podcast, I have great news. They've extended the 15% off of green coffee purchases through their website for listeners of the podcast until May 1st, 2020. So go to their website, sweetmarias.com, enter your green coffee order. Use the promo code CRAFTCOFFEE, which is all one word, and you'll get 15% off of your green coffee purchase between now and May 1st, 2020. Thank you, Sweet Maria's. Go get yourself some green coffee. Hey, coffee people, Joel here. Hey, it is episode 12 of the second season of the Craft Your Own Coffee podcast. We're talking home coffee roasting in the second season of the show, and we made it to the end. This is the finish line. We're going to wrap a bow on this bad boy on season 2, talking about roasting coffee at home, and we're going to do this sort of finale episode in top 10 style. So I'm going to work backwards from 10 to 1 on some of my key takeaways that I've gotten from the guests on the show and from other interactions with you guys, and just some like the research that I've done to help prepare for this season. So let's start with number 10. So we're going to go backwards. Top 10 takeaways about home coffee roasting. Number 10, I have learned the community of home coffee roasters is a really passionate community. I've said that several times on different episodes of this season. I'm so proud to be associated with the community of home coffee roasters. It's such a great group. You guys are generous, you're thoughtful, you're sharing, you're giving. You've shared a lot of information and resources with me, and it's been really, really awesome. And I'm so, like I said, proud to be associated as part of the community. I've been connected to new people through the podcast, through Instagram. I've seen some new processes that you guys are working on and trying at home. I saw this one guy that's using a hot air gun and a bread maker to roast coffee, which is just so cool to see in his back porch. If you want to check him out, it's at Roast From Home to check that out. The first season of this podcast ended with about 1,000 downloads, which was great. It was my first start. I felt really honored that so many people would listen to the show. But just as evidence of how passionate this home coffee roaster community is, the second season, we're currently at over 8,000 downloads. So it's like an 8x jump in the folks that are listening to the show. And that's not a brag. It's literally like just evidence of how passionate this community is. And I'm so grateful for you guys jumping in and learning and helping me learn. That's number 10. Number nine takeaway. When you are interviewing somebody, make sure you learn to pronounce their name. And also say it and spell it correctly. Apparently, I need to work on that. All right, so tell me your last name again.
Dote.
Yeah. Byron Dote. All right, cool. All right, hey guys, we are back. Byron Dito and myself, Sweet Maria's Coffee, Oakland.
Dote.
Don't shoot. Did I say that in the other one too?
I think you mispronounced it at the end.
Oh, crap. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Dote. I'm so sorry.
A lot of people don't even get past Byron. Usually Brian.
All right. So then I tried harder with Chris at Thrive Farmers Coffee. All right. How do you pronounce your last name?
Imagine you're saying the word favorite and drop the
Averitt.
F. Yeah.
Averitt. Yeah. All right.
My wife was a teacher and her kid, after she got married and changed her last name, we came up with a way to say her name because kids were like, Favorite? What?
So I thought it was good, and I pronounced his name correctly throughout the whole episode, never made a mistake on how I said his name, and then I spelled his name wrong in Instagram and in my show notes, and so mega fail. Thanks for having grace with me, Byron and Chris. You guys are awesome. Always know the names of your guests and say them correctly. Honor their parents for the name they gave them. Good takeaway. All right, number 8. From episode 2 and 3, my conversation with Byron Dote, Sweet Maria's, The takeaway for me is simply roasting coffee is very simple. And like roasting amazing coffee can be as simple as like the phrase turning green coffee brown, as Byron shared with me. I really liked that phrase. It really puts a good word picture around it as to the simplicity of what we're actually talking about. It's not this complex process that you have to have all these special skills and study forever and read a bunch of books to get started. You can just like find heat, stir beans around so they're not sitting still, and turn the green coffee from green into brown. That's roasting coffee. You can make it more complicated if you want. There's tons of resources out there. You can kind of go down the rabbit hole, but you can literally get started today. I mean, it's way easier to get started than you think. And actually, as now that I'm talking about that, you know, we're in this kind of quarantine life right now, so all over the world, and people are baking bread. People are living off the land, planting vegetables and fruit from seed, and like getting into just the stuff that maybe we didn't have time to do before. If you haven't added roasting your own coffee to that list of things that you're doing to like live off the land and live your best quarantine life, man, this is the time. Like, this is the time to dig in and start with roasting green coffee at home. It's just another way to take pride from the things that your hands are able to create and evolve, and the smell that you get from it, the flavor, the pride of being a part of that process from start to finish. It's just awesome. So if you haven't started yet, one more plug, get started roasting coffee at home. All right. Takeaway number 7 for me. This is from episode number 6. So my takeaway here is an amateur home roaster, yours truly, with a lot to learn and a lot to improve on, can roast coffee to the highest quality standards in the world, as evidenced from my time with Thrive Farmers Q grader David Pittman. So if you haven't listened to episode 6, go back and listen to that. You guys heard where I bought the coffee that I roasted that David graded for me. You heard me roast that coffee with my neighbor in episode 5. You can clearly hear and tell that I don't know everything about roasting coffee. I've got a lot of questions. There's still so much I don't know. And yet, that coffee ended up with a grade of 86.25, which David told me the best coffees in the world are around 88, like they top out around the 88 point range. So like that, if that gives you some encouragement, if that doesn't give you some encouragement, I don't know what will, about how approachable and simple this process of roasting coffee is. And along those same lines, this is also from episode 6, I was really taken back in a good way about the process for grading or scoring coffee. It's super objective and a very refined process. And so now when I'm looking at bags of coffee or green coffee to buy, or just like scores of coffee in general, it gives me a ton of confidence in like the scores that are in that upper 80 echelon. Like I have a lot of confidence in that because I know they've been graded by a Q grader, and I know that that process is extremely objective. And the fact that there's only a couple thousand Q graders that are licensed in the entire world, as David shared with me in that episode, that gives even more weight to the scores that we see on bags of coffee and the quality that we're looking for. So, all right, takeaway number 6. This came from episode 8, which was Katie and I's date night to learn about the from coffee growers and producers in Colombia. Here's what I've learned. It is all about the cupping table. Cupping, man. It's all about cupping. All right, so let me explain what I mean, but side note before that, I've heard from at least one of you that the term cupping can kind of sound dirty if you're not super familiar with specialty coffee. I had a friend, a good friend of mine, and a listener of the show that called me and gave me a hard time about saying cupping so often on the podcast. He's like, yeah, stop saying cupping, man. So thanks for that, Brent. But seriously, one big takeaway that Katie and I got from our date night and from the season came from that pre-quarantine date night. Just so you know, this was before the shutdown, that episode 8, date night that we had at East Pole Coffee Company in Atlanta. And one of the coffee growers from Colombia that was there had a quote that really stuck out, that in their business, this was the quote, every idea to improve the quality in growing or producing our coffee comes directly from the cupping table. So what he meant by that is that when you use standards and objectives to evaluate roasted coffee, and then you identify through that process a defect or something that really isn't quite up to standards, as you cup the coffee and taste it and evaluate it and score it, then you can work backwards from that process to find a better way to actually grow a better plant. So literally the cupping table is where it's at. And we've talked about coffee cupping here before. Here you go, Brent. I'm going to say it a few more times just for you. We've talked about coffee cupping a lot on this show as a, primarily as a way that specialty coffee shops evaluate the flavors and the notes that they find in the coffee. But it's not just for cupping is not just for coffee shops to learn and describe the taste of their coffee, but it's also for growers and producers and roasters, of course, but for growers and producers to identify how to improve the health of the coffee tree that they're actually growing on their farm. So that was a big takeaway for me, just the importance of the cupping table. It kind of all hinges on that objective look at the coffee on the table. All right, takeaway number five. If you want to become a better home roaster, which I know I do, the advice that I got was buy good quality green coffee. So let's hear David Pittman share his advice on this front.
And one thing I get some questions about, and I want to be clear, is some people will say, oh, David, I want to be a better roaster. It starts with the green coffee you buy. You can't roast things that are not already in that green coffee. You can't, it's a culinary thing, but I hear a lot of chefs talk about it. You can only make the raw product worse. You can't improve its quality because it already comes to you with everything inside of it that you need. And so, great green coffee,
So it starts with buying quality.
It starts with buying quality, yeah.
And again, that was David Pittman from Thrive Farmers Coffee, who's a licensed Q grader. Thanks again for the insight and advice, David. And that leads me to my fourth takeaway. So we're down four. And this is actually on the flip side of what David shared. I was challenged by, again, going back to that date night Katie and I had at East Pole Coffee Company, there was a representative from Cafe Imports there, who's one of the largest green coffee importers to the United States and a couple other countries in the whole world. And they sort of challenged that notion a little bit that David shared, but in a unique way. And so I would say my fourth takeaway is that average coffee, so not high-end quality, like top-of-the-top green coffee grown at the best farms, but like average coffee grown but roasted with solid roasting techniques can actually pull out the best qualities inherent in that quote-unquote average coffee. So again, on the flip side to what David shared, let's think about this for a second. This has really challenged my mindset. So there's only really a limited supply of specialty grade grown green coffee in the world, right? By nature of the term, like the majority of coffee is not specialty grade. So, and just in Colombia alone, there's over 540,000 coffee farms, but only 3,000 of those farms are in the high-end category, like the specialty grade green coffee category, which is still a lot. I mean, that's still a big supply of specialty coffee, but it's limited. And not every farm or every country has the means to invest in better production equipment and technology to actually improve their growing processes. So, you know, some are literally growing coffee on farms in order for their family to survive. And I would say probably most people are in that boat around the world, because that's the only way that they have to make an income based on the part of the country or the world that they live in. So I was really challenged during that evening talking with Cafe Imports in episode 8 to consider the human side of quality green coffee. So if you only support the highest end farms, which have the technology and the means to grow the highest end coffee in the world, does that mean that we might be squeezing out some of the families and the farms that are trying to improve but don't have the means to like get a leg up? Like they're constantly a couple steps behind. So it's really good to remember, and I'm still like processing through this and chewing on this. It's good to remember that the vast majority of the coffee grown in the world is quote unquote average from a scoring standpoint. But here's the good news, and this is where Cafe Imports challenged my thinking. So this is where good roasting technique, like solid roasting technique, can help. You can't, like David said, you can't magically roast better flavors into an already incredible high-end green coffee bean. Like you can really only just make it worse. Like you can ruin great coffee through poor roasting, but you can't magically roast amazing berry-licious flavors into coffee if it's not already grown that way. But here you can use solid roasting techniques and technology at home to pull out the very best of the inherent qualities in an average green coffee, which you draw that tape out, it still gives a chance for that farmer who's trying to make ends meet to sell their coffee and have a market for their coffee, even in the home roasting community. So I'm still thinking through that and processing, like, what does that mean for my everyday life? Like, should I be thinking about buying green coffee a little bit differently and not just going for the 88 point total green coffee, but can I actually help a farm out that's, I'm still going to be able to use my roasting understanding at home to pull out great flavors, but not just go for the high end. So if you guys have any thoughts on that or challenges or pushback, I would love to hear it. Cause again, I haven't fully settled on what to do. I think maybe my biggest takeaway is just ask more questions about the farms and understand a little bit more about a situation if I can, in a way that I can better support somebody, in a different country. So, that was not as polished as I wanted to share, but hopefully you guys get the point. Maybe that starts a conversation. All right. Number three, takeaway number three. This came from the Q&A episode last week, episode number 11. In all caps, you don't have to seal roasted coffee as soon as it is cooled and roasted and cooled. I'll say that again. You don't have to seal roasted coffee as soon as it's roasted and cooled. Mind blown. So thanks to Joel Norman for this. This was a listener question, and Joel helped me think about it. So you've got up to 12 hours, according to the professional roasters, got up to 12 hours after roasting your coffee at home to seal it up tight before the oxygen starts to impact the flavor. So oxygen will impact the flavor and the freshness of your roasted coffee, but apparently due to the internal bean pressure that Joel shared with me after the roasting process, that internal pressure inside a coffee bean will minimize the effects of oxygen for up to about 12 hours. So I have always had kind of rushed to seal my coffee as soon as it's cooled down out of the roaster and get it in some sort of airtight container with a one-way release valve. But I guess I don't really need to do that. I mean, it's not as important. If I left it out for a couple hours on accident on my cooling tray and got distracted and did something else, that coffee's not bad. It's not going to taste stale. It's still going to be good and just as good. So that was really encouraging to know. Good takeaway. All right, number two. Takeaway number two from episode 7 with Chris Averett. Keep a simple coffee roasting journal. Doesn't have to be much. I use like a little 4x6 like pad notepad. It's really not simple. I put like little tabs at the top with different countries and origins just so I can sort of separate the roast with coffee from Ethiopia from the roast from Honduras. You don't have to do that. But Chris challenged me to mark down the major milestones in the roast. And for home roasters that aren't putting, you know, a bunch of technology to this and just but want to kind of keep track of the basics to keep track of in a roasting journal are the total roast time and the temperature, if you can get the temperature at key markers. If you can't get the temperature because you're using a popcorn popper or something else that doesn't really give you a real-time temperature readout, you can mark down the start and end time, the total roast time, the time that you hit first crack, and then the time that you start to perceive a yellow coloring in the beans. Those are the big ones. So time, temperature if you can, time of the yellow in the coffee, and then time of the first crack. And if you like the end product, you like the roast at the end of the day, now you've got a roadmap for that coffee that you just roasted to try to hit those same time and temperature markers every time. And that's really important. And then finally, my last takeaway for this season, drumroll please, is Sweet Maria's. You guys are awesome, and I am a customer for life. And again, I'm not being paid to say this. They've supported the show, but their support of the show this season has been by giving you guys and me a discount on our green coffee through their website, which is still good through May 1st. If you haven't taken advantage of this yet, they're still offering 15% off for listeners of the podcast. Discount code is CRAFTCOFFEE, all one word. If you haven't already done this, you can still do this until May 1st, 2020. But they're just amazing. Like, they are generous with their time. Byron has not only sat down with me and gave me a tour of their facility several months ago, but he has answered texts and emails. He sent in some voice messages to me to help with you some of the questions you guys have asked. He's just awesome. They're all awesome. They're generous with their business too. They've been giving away since the stay-at-home orders and all the challenges with the COVID-19 crisis, they've been giving away 25% of their proceeds for local needs in Oakland since that started in California. You know, they've given us discounts. They did a giveaway. They gave away a popcorn popper and some swag and green coffee to a listener of the podcast. They're helpful, responsive. I can trust the quality of their products. I'm a customer for life, guys, and I'm a friend. So thank you so much, Sweet Maria's. Thanks for your business. Thanks for doing business the right way, for caring about people above profits. Okay, so that is a wrap for the season, guys. It's been so much fun spending the season talking with you about a passion of mine, which is roasting coffee at home. I want to give you a sense of what's next for this podcast. So I'm going to take a little break for a little while before we come back with season three. I've got a thought for season three. I'll share that in a second. But I want to tell you why I'm taking a break. So why, especially when I kind of shared some of the numbers from this podcast. Again, that is not a brag. I don't want it to come across that way. But things have really been moving forward with this podcast. It's been really exciting. So you might ask why I'm taking a break now. Well, as you hopefully know, this is a podcast for me that is not a money-making business or an endeavor for me. I'm not making any money off of this. It's something I choose to do in order to grow personally, to grow my communication ability, to express passion and just have a creative outlet, and to help other people grow in their love and appreciation for the total coffee experience, just like I have. And I'm blessed to still have a day job that I love and that I get to do. But many people in the coffee industry are either furloughed, laid off completely, or they're definitely facing an uncertain future. And the industry, the coffee industry itself, has really had to completely pivot on their business model because of the times that we're living in. And so I'm taking a step back in order to encourage you to support them, to support the people in the coffee industry, especially in your local community. The human beings that own a small business owners, as well as any employee of any coffee company, whether it's an employee of a shop run by a huge corporation or an employee of your local neighborhood cafe. So here's what I've started to notice is that while coffee shops are operating in the COVID-19 era, many of the really good ones are putting out some truly amazing content on brewing coffee at home, on upgrading your home barista skills, on roasting coffee at home, etc. Maybe that wasn't their focus prior to this time, but now that everybody's kind of at home and stuck at home and their business has changed in the coffee world, they're definitely focusing more on you and me, the home coffee people, how to get our skills up and better. And obviously, I'm sure they want us to buy their coffee as well, their coffee beans to roast at home or to brew at home. But, you know, the focus is kind of on us, and they are the professionals. And so the content that they're putting out is like red hot fire. And I'm talking about companies that are owned by like large holding businesses like Stumptown Coffee and Blue Bottle Coffee. But then I'm also talking about smaller businesses with a ton of influence and quality: Onyx Coffee Lab, Cartel Coffee Lab, Sweet Maria's, of course. And so I'm going to link to some of these, but I'll also ask you to share some of your favorites, because there's a lot out there that I'm sure I'm not aware of, so that we can all start learning some of these things that we've been talking about on this podcast, but at a more professional level from this like red hot fire content that these coffee shops are putting out for home coffee people. And then like, I'd encourage you to share or to figure out how you can support those companies over the next few months. So I'm going to take a step back for a little bit, and then I'll ask that you guys take a step in to learning from and supporting the coffee industry. And when the time is right, sometime this year, I'll be back with you guys for the third season of the Craft Your Own Coffee podcast, I promise. And as a sneak peek, here you go. The third season is going to be all about espresso. How to make a proper espresso. What it is. What equipment you'll need. What drinks you can make with espresso as the base. Latte art. I really want to learn how to do latte art. I'm horrible at it. So I'll look for some friends in the industry to help you and I learn a new skill. And there's a lot to go down the rabbit hole as it relates to espresso. I'm really excited about it. So in the meantime, please continue to interact with me via Instagram at craftyourowncoffee. You can send me an email at craftyourowncoffee@gmail.com. I'd love to hear the ideas and topics that you guys would like to explore on future episodes and future seasons. So help kind of prompt me with content that you want to hear. Do you want more interviews? Do you want more how-to type stuff? Do you want something totally different? Or do you want to be on the show as a guest to share what you're doing with your coffee at home? So this podcast is for you, the coffee lover. So let's build the show together. Guys, it's been super fun talking about home coffee roasting with you this season. hit me up on Instagram through email. Let's keep the conversation going. But I will see you guys when the time is right, probably in a couple months later on this year, to talk about season 3, Espresso. See you soon.